one of the most fervent prayers of my life as a pastor is to ask the Holy Spirit every month to lead me to the theme that I am to preach to our church that month. One of the most inspiring facts of more than 50 years of ministry is when the Holy Spirit just so clearly shows me what He wants me to preach and what He wants me to teach to the people that I pastor. I say this as sincerely as I can be. I am always awed. I never get over the awe when the Holy Spirit, who wrote this Bible, so clearly and consistently leads me if I ask Him and seek Him and follow Him. And during the month of August, I have been clearly led by the Holy Spirit to speak on a theme I've never preached on before. You say, how could you preach for 53 years and have something you haven't preached before? Well, this book is alive. And I'm going to be preaching this month on famous chapters in the Bible. Famous chapters in the Bible. Most of you know that the Bible contains 1,189 chapters. And I want you to know that every chapter in this Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And I also want you to know that every chapter in this Bible has some value to our spiritual life. You can read the Bible and somewhere there's a message that will benefit you. But all of us know that there are certain chapters in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that have become exceptionally popular to believers of all ages down through the centuries since the Holy Spirit gave us the Bible. I really would like to engage you in this series of messages. I'd like for you to take the time to communicate with me directly about your favorite chapters in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, this is not a project where you pass or fail. This is chapters that the Holy Spirit has used to bless your life in special ways. I'd like for you to also text me, email, and try to guess what I'm going to be preaching on each week. I'll tell you right now, next week I'll be preaching from the New Testament. I'll be preaching next week on the most famous chapter in the New Testament. Well, that narrowed it down to 260 chapters. I'd like for you to try to guess what it is. I can tell you at this moment right now, there's not another person on the earth, including my daughter, that knows what it is. See if you can guess it. But this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to open them to the most famous chapter of the Old Testament. Let's jump into this new series of messages on famous chapters. And this is, without any doubt, the most well-known and often quoted chapter of the Old Testament. First of all, let me see your Bibles. Everybody, you listening at home, get your Bibles and open them to the 23rd Psalm. You guessed it, didn't you? Let's open our Bibles this morning to the Old Testament and the 23rd chapter of Psalm. Some of you don't even need to open your Bibles like me. You have known this Psalm since you were a child. In fact, Psalm 23 was the first chapter that I memorized as a child verbatim. Taught it in Vacation Bible School, Miss Diana. Never forgotten it. Now, this famous chapter is usually called the Shepherd's Psalm. And this psalm clearly describes what will happen to a person who is following Jesus. Anyone can expect certain things in their lives if they follow Jesus. I want you to remember, as we read this psalm, that David, the writer of this psalm, was a shepherd before God made him king. I also want you to remember that Jesus often referred to himself as the good shepherd. He even said one time, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." 15 times in 6 verses in this very short psalm, 15 times David uses a personal pronoun. As we read it together in just a moment, notice how many times David says, "My shepherd, I shall not." How many times he speaks about me. So I want you to understand this morning that everything God says in Psalms 23 can be applied to any person who is listening to this message today in the worship center by means of technology, live, or even maybe later in the day or the week. If you make a personal decision to follow Jesus. No matter what level of education, no matter your marital status, no matter your financial status, no matter your age or your primary language, any person who will follow Jesus can expect 5 things to happen. Are you ready? Let's read slowly and thoughtfully the most famous chapter in the Old Testament. And when you realize that there are 929 chapters in the Old Testament, some of them very well known, but this is, without question, the most famous of all. Here we go, together. "The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want." Notice, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Can't you see how personal, intimate this is? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." In fact, it is thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Here it is again. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and when this life is ended, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever." In this most famous chapter of the Old Testament, there are 5 universal and ageless results that any person can expect who makes a decision to follow Jesus. In fact, I want you to notice the key word to this text. If there's any word that is predominant in this text, it is that word shepherd. We cannot claim these promises. Don't lift these promises out of context. You cannot claim these five promises. You cannot expect these five things to happen in your life unless you can say in the sight of an omniscient God, I am following the Good Shepherd. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed upon Him, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Notice there's a difference in being a believer and being a disciple. So this text this morning is speaking about a person who's not only a believer, but a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Here we go. Fact number one. If any believer will follow Jesus, Jesus will supply all your needs. Look at verse 1 again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All together, say those last four words. I shall not want. In fact, the verb, as you can tell, is in the future tense. It doesn't say, I have never lacked, I do not. It's future. I shall not ever lack anything I need if I am following the Good Shepherd. Let's break it down. Ladies and gentlemen, this promise does not depend upon who is in the White House. This promise is not conditioned upon who is in control of Congress. It does not matter what is happening on Wall Street. It doesn't matter who is my employer. It does not matter what state I am resident. God's word says, I shall not want. I shall not lack anything I need if I am following Jesus. I can expect Him to supply my needs. When I was a much younger man, in my 20s, that was a long time ago. In my 20s, I had a wife and I had small children. And I would predict, like most responsible men in their 20s with responsibilities, I worried a lot about finances. I worried about them, and as a father, I worried about them as a pastor. I cannot tell you how many nights I went to sleep worrying about what if something should happen to me. What would happen to my wife and children? And I worried every time there was some kind of a disagreement, you know, in the church. And what's going to happen if certain people, you know, get upset and leave and things like this. One day, the Holy Spirit gave me a verse of Scripture that I'm going to put on the screen for you. It changed my life for nearly five decades. Look what it says. Psalms 37:25, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I can't say that I claimed that the first time God gave it to me, but I do remember, and I don't know the date, don't even know my age, but I remember clearly the day that I decided that I would make this one of my life verses. And every time the economy took a turn, downward of course, every time there was some kind of political turmoil or international unrest, every time there was a crisis in the church, every time that I started to pay my bills and there was no balance in the checking account, God is my heavenly witness, I opened my Bible to Psalms 37:25 and said, God, look at there, what you wrote. And I want today to encourage you who are in your 20s or in your teen years. I want to encourage you today that are young adults. Your speaker today has lived through 13 presidents. 7 of them Republicans and 6 of them Democrats. I've lived through the assassination of a president and a presidential candidate and a civil rights leader. I've lived through 3 wars, 2 of which radically divided this nation and had lasting impacts. I've lived and pastored through 3 recessions. Yes, I've gone through some hard times and I've had to make some major adjustments in my personal finances and in the ministries that I oversaw. And I can be honest today, there have been a few times in my life where my faith was too small and I had some fear. But I want to stand here today and testify that after 50 years, I've never been homeless. No child of mine has gone to bed hungry at night. I've never filed any bankruptcy papers. And it's not because I'm smart. It's not because I'm strong. It's not because I'm lucky. It's because my shepherd is named Jehovah Jireh. And He will supply all my needs. He's got my back. He's got my sides, and He goes before me preparing green pastures for His sheep. And the same God who took care of me in the 20s and took care of me in my 30s and my 50s and 60s, He's going to take care of me in my 70s because He has made a promise. Beloved, many things change, including people. But God and His Word never change. Look on the screen. Philippians 4 and 19 says, but what's the next 2 words? Can you say today that He is my God? Again, you can't claim. Don't try to claim scriptures out of context. But if today you can say, He's my God. You know what He said? My God shall supply how many? All your need according to His riches. You see, our peace is not based upon the riches of Congress or the federal government. It's based upon the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Look up here. Don't you tempt God. He warns you, don't you dare tempt me. You'll regret it. Don't you go out here and try to change God's Word. That verse does not say that God will give you everything you want. It doesn't say that He will give you everything that your neighbors have. It doesn't even say, are you ready? It doesn't even say that He will give you everything you pray for. But what it does say is, He will give you everything you need. And always will. I love the words of Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 31. He says, therefore, take no thought. Don't worry what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Stop and think about how much time people spend worrying about those 3 things. He even says, don't you understand? That's things that Gentiles, that unbelievers, people who don't even know me, these are things they worry about. But if you're a child of God, look what He says. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of even before you ask. One of the reasons that God is able to supply supply all of our needs. It's because He knows all of our needs even before we ask. One of my favorite promises is Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Is there anybody else listening to this sermon today that's had God send you something before you even asked for it? Because the reason you hadn't asked for it yet, because you didn't even know you was going to need it, and God did know and He sent it. Are you with me? How in the world can God do that? Because you see, God knows our needs before we even know our needs. Look on the screen at a psalm that ought to inspire all of us. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. Pause right there for a moment. Has God been good to anyone else besides this preacher today? Would you raise your hand? I mean, hit something? Shout, do something, huh? And look what else it says. His mercy is everlasting. Aren't you thankful God is a God of mercy? He doesn't give us what we deserve. And His truth endureth to all generations. Think about that last statement right there. Psalms 23:1 was demonstrated in my poor widowed mom. I learned as a child. Mom, my father suddenly died. Mom had never worked outside the home. No life insurance and three small boys to raise. Over and over and over again, I saw God take care of us. And I learned as a child that God is a good God. But praise God, when He took my mother to heaven, guess what? God was still alive on this earth. And He has demonstrated His goodnesses to me in my life. And as my life is now winding down, I'm so thankful that I can stand and say that Psalms 23:1 will endure for my children. His truth endureth for all generation. And when my children start coming to the end, our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, His truth endureth for all generation. And I say to every parent listening to this sermon today, the greatest and most important inheritance you can give to your children is faith in God. God is faithful. Hey, you can stress and worry and live in fear and doubt. I did that for many years as a Christian, even as a minister. Or you can follow Jesus and have peace and have faith. I shall not lack for anything I need. You know why? Because Jesus is bigger than any need you will ever have. One little girl was trying to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And her theology is right, but her words got mixed up. And one day when she was reciting Psalms 23:1, she says, Jesus is my shepherd and He is all I need. Well, that's not exactly what it says, but that is what it means. Before I move on, can I tell you something I've learned as a pastor? You know that sometimes our greatest need is not finances. I have an idea that when I read and start expounding upon Psalms 23:1, every one of you, the first thing you thought was a dollar sign. God's going to take care of my finances. But can I tell you something? There's times in our lives that we've got plenty of money in the checking account. We just need some rest. Guess what He says? The good shepherd maketh us sometimes to lie down. Take a rest. Sometimes we just need a new start. We need a new vision. If you're following Jesus, He guides you into those new pastures. Sometimes we just need a smile. Sometimes I just need a positive, encouraging text. Sometimes you need a babysitter. That's just basic fact, isn't it? Sometimes we're running a little late. We just need a green light. Sometimes we just need the right clothes for the right occasion. Sometimes we need favor in government. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, don't limit God. Don't put God in a box. When the Scripture says, "My God shall supply all your needs." It's not just talking about money. He will be Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides whatever you need. Well, fact number two is that if anyone is following Jesus, He will direct your steps. I want you to look at verses 2 and 3 and you will see it. It's just very clear. He, the Good Shepherd, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I mean, that's very obvious, isn't it? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's very clear in these verses, in this famous psalm, that if anyone is following Jesus, He, the Good Shepherd, is going to direct our steps. Now, as we look at those words in the Word of God, sometimes Jesus does make us lay down. Sometimes He makes us to stand still. Even when we're trying to get up and run. Sometimes when we're just determined to do something, what He is trying to say to you is be still. Sometimes He makes us lie down in places we had not planned. Does that sound like the pandemic? Beloved, if you're a child of God, He's in control of the pandemic as it relates to your life and mine. We need to stop stressing and stop trying to discern what He's trying to say to us. Sometimes the Good Shepherd would lead His sheep in paths that they did not expect. But believer, I can tell you on the authority of God's Word today, if you are following Jesus, He can be trusted. There have been times that I have thought He had forsaken me. There have been a few times I looked up and said, "Are you on sabbatical?" And more honest, there have been many times in my life I deserved to be forsaken, to have been forgotten. But you see, the Bible says that the Good Shepherd will never leave or forsake us. Look on the screen at what God promised in Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man, or woman of course, are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in our ways. Though we fall, we shall not be utterly or permanently cast down. Why? Because the Lord, the one who saved us, the Good Shepherd, holds us with His hand. Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph did not understand that 20-year detour God sent him on in Egypt. Moses did not enjoy those 40 years he spent in Midian taking care of sheep. But God was getting him ready to take care of God's sheep. Job did not understand those 2 or 3 years of testing he went through. But his example has been an inspiration for more than 3,000 years to believers. Martha and Mary could not understand why Jesus waited 4 days to come and heal their brother. And you may not understand why God is allowing certain tests in your life right now. But if you are walking in fellowship with Jesus, I'm here to tell you, He He is directing your steps just as much as He was Joseph, just as much as He was Moses, just as much as He was Job, just as much as He was Lazarus. Sometimes we just have to walk by faith and not by sight. Verse of Scripture that is another of my life verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says to what? Trust in the Lord. Notice again, all capitals, talking about if He's our Savior. Don't just trust Him for your eternal salvation. Trust Him for every day with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. Again, I do not remember the date. But beloved, I remember so very well one season in my life, God took that phrase in verse 5 and said, I'm not going to let you go until you learn to live by that verse. Stop, Gene Pritchard, trying to understand my ways. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than yours. I wrote in my word, your responsibility is to trust me with all your heart. And verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge me. You trust me, you obey me, and guess what? I will direct your steps. If you're following Jesus, you don't have to understand, just like sheep. They don't know where that shepherd's leading them, but they don't worry. That good shepherd has proven he's looking out for his sheep. I love Isaiah 43:16. Look what it says. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Our praise team just led us in a song a moment ago. I don't know what obstacles you have ahead of you this morning. You in this worship center, you listening by means of technology. I don't know what lies ahead of you. There may be things ahead of you that you're not even aware of. But I want to tell you one thing. There is no obstacles that you have ahead of you. But the same God who made a way through the sea for His children in 1400 B.C., He can make a way for you through your problems in 2020 AD. Circumstances, names, situations may change, but our God and His Word never change. I don't know what kind of stressful situation you are in today. Maybe at work. Maybe in your home. Maybe in your school. Maybe in your finances, maybe even in your family. But I can tell you with absolute certainty today that if you're a born-again child of God, the Good Shepherd is able to either strengthen you to endure anything that life puts on you, or He is able to also make a way out of anything that you are in. Because you see, the fact is, Jesus is bigger than any problems you will ever have. He's bigger than any needs you'll ever have. He's bigger than any problems you'll ever have. He's bigger than anything you have in your past, currently in your present, or in your future. His blood and His resurrection covers our past, present, and future. Jesus transcends time. And all the people said, Romans 8:31 asks us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Revelation 3:7, God, Jesus, opens doors no man can close. Isaiah 14:27, the Lord of hosts purposes, and who shall disannul it? He stretches out His hand to do something, who in the world is going to push it back? Psalms 48:14 says, this God is our God. Forever and ever, He will be our guide, even unto death. And all the people said, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, wow, isn't God awesome? So number one, if you're following Jesus, if you are letting Him be your good shepherd, He will supply all your needs. He will direct your steps. And look at fact number three. When you are following Jesus, He will protect you from evil. I want you to look carefully at verse 4 of this famous psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Stop right there. We're going to read on, but let's stop for just a moment. Think about those words. I will fear no evil. Not evil people. Not even evil demons. Not evil times. Not evil circumstances. No evil. Well, how in the world can any person not be afraid of evil? He tells you why. Read on. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they are what? Your weapons are what bring comfort unto me. Can I ask you a question this morning and then answer it for you? I understand that many of you may not have had the privilege, as I did, to grow up on a farm. So you may not understand this, but can I ask you this morning, do you know what brings comfort to sheep? Comfort to sheep is found in the presence of their shepherd. It is an absolute fact. Sheep do not worry about what they're going to eat for the day. They know their good shepherd is going to provide. Sheep are not even intimidated. That's why they have to have a shepherd. They are so innocent, they're not even intimidated by predators that could kill them as long as they can see the shepherd. They're not intimidated by storms. They don't even get out of the storms. You ever wonder why they're called dumb sheep? They're not dumb. They're just innocent. They're trusting. Diseases that are dangerous to them, they don't worry about those things. As long as they can see their shepherd, they are comforted because they know that shepherd is going to take care of them. Is that not the meaning of 1 John 4:4? When God says that you are of God, little children, you are now children of God, and you have overcome them. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Our victory, our peace is because of the one who is greater inside of us. And by the way, greater is He. It's a person. It doesn't say greater is it. It didn't say greater is the force. It says greater is He that is in us. And that person is Jesus Christ. And you can live in fear and worry, or you can be like sheep and just say, that's the good shepherd's problem. He can take care of it, and He can. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. You don't have to be afraid. If the good shepherd is leading you, He knows a way through or a way out of any situation. I love 2 Timothy chapter 4. Those closing verses have been a great comfort to me many times as a minister and as a Christian, where the Apostle Paul wrote and the Holy Spirit put it in the Bible. He said, at my first appearance, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. I may be preaching to someone today who feels like that everyone that you counted on and depended upon are gone for whatever reason. But look what he said in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Everybody else may be gone, but God was there. And He strengthened me. And on top of that, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And then he goes on to say, and in verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me into His heavenly kingdom. You know what Paul is stating there? He is just affirming a psalm that was written 10 centuries, 1,000 years before Paul ever lived. God is adequate for anything that comes into your life. And furthermore, Hebrews 13:5 says, He has written, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And when the Lord is your shepherd, you don't have to be afraid of evil. He's with you. And fact number four, whenever a person decides and makes a decision to follow Jesus, to live by His teachings and follow His example, you'll find that He supplies all your needs. He directs your steps. He protects you from evil. And oh, I love this next one. It may be my favorite of all. If you're following Jesus, He will bless you every day of your life. That's what it says. Look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, there's something very important, and that is that Jesus is bigger than any enemy you will ever have. I want to tell you a little story today, and I hope that it blesses all of you. Many years ago, I told you the first chapter I ever memorized or was encouraged to memorize was this psalm. I got a pretty good handle on 4 or 5 of those verses. I never could understand verse 5. Oh, I knew what it said. I believed it, but I couldn't understand it. And God had to let me go through a laboratory of experience to learn the meaning of verse 5 in Psalm 23. You see, for many, many years in my life, whenever I would have an enemy, I would start praying for God to change them. And I'm not even going to take the time to tell you all the words I used, you know, trying to tell God how wrong they were and, you know, how He needed to fix this and fix that. Sometimes God did indeed change my enemies, but most of the time He didn't change them. In fact, sometimes they even got meaner. So you know what I did in my younger Christian life? I would start praying for God to move me. I say, Lord, I just can't take this anymore. And, you want me to have peace and abundant life and all these things. And I begin to pray. And I mean, sometimes, boy, I would really have a serious prayer meeting with God and plead with God. God, I don't even care. Move me to California. Move me to Hawaii. And then I realized that may be fleshly. So I said, Lord, you can even send me to Alaska. I just want to be so far that I will never again see or have contact, no way, with this person. Guess what? God didn't move me. I said, oh, I got it. And then I would start praying for God to move my enemies. Now, I want to tell you something. God is my witness. I have never asked God to do anything bad to an enemy. Never have. And I'm not going to start now. But I did ask God to move them far away from me. And guess what? He didn't. Because you see, Psalms 23:5 says, God prepares a table before us who are following Jesus in the presence of our enemies. He doesn't remove us from them. He doesn't remove them from us. What He does is He blesses us in spite of them. He blesses us in the presence of them. And one day I suddenly realized the understanding of this text. God told us as long as you're following Jesus, you're going to have enemies. You don't have any enemies today. You're not following God close enough. All who live godly shall suffer persecution. And God doesn't remove them, and God doesn't kill them, and God doesn't move us. What God does, He blesses His followers in the presence of our enemies. And by the way, there's nothing God can do to an enemy that's any more cruel than blessing us when they're cursing us and accusing us and hating us and working against us. And look at that verse. And He anoints my head with oil. Oil, as you know, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, used in the dedication and consecration of servants. And what God is saying is that while He's blessing us physically, and He's blessing us spiritually, financially, and He's blessing us in our careers, He's pouring out His Spirit upon our lives spiritually while others are working against us. And some of you have missed that great blessing of Psalms 23:5 because you have never let God guide you through a situation. And I want to say to every person listening today, and especially to a few that need to hear this, there isn't any person who can ever stop God's blessings upon your life except your own disobedience. No child of God can be withheld from the blessings of God except through our own disobedience, because Jesus is bigger than any enemy you will ever have. Look at this promise in Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who what? Daily. There it is. He daily loadeth us with benefits, with blessings, even the God of our salvation, the one who has promised us eternal life, where we will live forever in a perfect place with joy that is unspeakable and pleasures forevermore, says that on the way to heaven, He daily loads us with blessings. Look again at Psalms 23:6. Surely, what's the first word? Surely, goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me. How long? All the days of my life. That verse changed my whole attitude. Ask people that know me well. God transformed me from a doubting Christian to a shouting Christian. When I came to understand that every single day, as a child of God, I can awake with anticipation of God's favor and God's blessing. He wrote it in the Bible. His blessings will follow you. I used to worry as a young Christian, what if I move somewhere that causes me to miss out on God's blessings? And I realized God's blessings follow me. They follow you. He'll bless you in the city. He'll bless you in the country. He'll bless you in your career. He'll bless you in your business. He'll bless you in your sales. He'll bless you in your finances. He'll bless you in your family. And these blessings will follow you all the days of your life. I want you to look on the screen at the promise of Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. Read it all with me carefully. And by the way, let me stop and make a little sidebar explanation here. I've said it many times, but I want you to never forget, it's very critical to understanding and right dividing the Word. Anytime you see Lord in all capitals in the Old Testament, it is referring to Him as our Savior, as our Redeemer. Sometimes you will find a capital L and O-R-D is lowercase. means another matter altogether. He's the Lord of the universe. But when you see it in capitals like this, it's referring to born again believers, to those who can say, He is my shepherd. He is my Savior. So look at this statement here to believers. Those of us who are saved, He shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in His season. Yeah, His timing. And to bless, how much? All the work of thine hand. God will so bless you that you'll be able to help other people and you won't have to borrow. The Lord, again, if He's your Savior, will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. Uh-oh. If you just hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. All we have to do to have the promises of those two verses is to follow the teachings, the example of our Lord and Savior. Look at Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22. Another of my favorite. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Aren't you thankful that His compassions fail not? They are new how often? Every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Aren't you thankful God's blessings are not predicated upon our faithfulness, but His? And believers that are following the Good Shepherd have every reason to expect God's blessings and God's favor every day, as long as you live. No matter what's going on in the world around you or in your own personal life, you can expect goodness and mercy is going to follow me today. God said it. I love Psalms 27, verse 1. And I know for a fact that it's a favorite of many of you here today. And many of you listening by means of technology. I ask people oftentimes their favorite psalm. And this is one of the favorites. And mine too. It says in Psalms 27, 1, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? When the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, we won't have any enemies. Oh, yes, you will. But look what He says. When the wicked, even mine enemies and foes who meant to do me harm, came up on me to eat up my flesh. Guess what happened? They stumbled and fell. You know why that scripture is true? Because you see, standing between every child of God and every enemy you have is an unseen person who gave Himself the name Jehovah Sabaoth. God protects us. Look at Deuteronomy 28 verse 7. He says, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Why? Because whenever Jesus is our good shepherd, you can expect Him to bless you every day. He's bigger than any enemy you ever will have. And then this famous psalm comes to what I guess musicians would call a crescendo. In verse 6, here's what it says. That whenever you are following Jesus, He will take you to heaven when you die. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And notice He doesn't stop there. And when this life of blessing and protection and favor on earth is ended, wherever that happens, whenever it happens, you personally will dwell in the house of my Savior forever and ever. Not going on a vacation. We're going to live there forever. And this is obviously referring, of course, to heaven. And you remember what Paul said in the New Testament? For me to live as Christ and to die as what? Gain. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. You know why this is true? Because you see, when Jesus is your shepherd, He's bigger than anything you ever face, even death. He's even bigger than death. One of the most greatly used preachers in church history was Dwight L. Moody. And when D.L. Moody was getting older, one day he was speaking to some of his students and to some of his friends and probably some of his family. He made a statement that was recorded and has become famous down through the years since it was spoken. He said, and I quote, "Some morning you're going to open the paper and read that D.L. Moody is dead." He said, "Don't you believe a single word of that report. For at that moment, I shall be more alive than I am right now. For I was born in the flesh in 1837. And I was born again in the spirit in 1856. And that which is born of the flesh may die, but that which is born of the spirit will live forever." And beloved, D.L. Moody was absolutely correct. Look at our text again. Look at how it ends in such a dramatic, majestic statement. No wonder it is so loved, and especially in times of death. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever." Instantly. Don't forget that some of the most famous words that our Savior and Good Shepherd ever spoke were spoken in a cemetery. You remember that as Jesus approached the grave of His friend Lazarus, Lazarus' sisters, who were also Jesus' friend, they just kept wailing and complaining, "Lord, if You had only come 4 days sooner, our brother would be alive." And Jesus chose that spot to make one of the most famous statements He ever made on this earth. He stopped and looked at those sisters and said in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life." I have an idea that He must have pointed at His tomb. "And he that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in Me never dies." I tell people, believers never die. We just change our address. And I believe that Jesus chose to make that statement at that location, and then turned to them and said, "And just to prove that I have power over death, take away that stone." But Lord, by now he's deteriorated and he even stinketh, and God only knows, take away the stone. And there in the presence of a man dead 4 days, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And this man walked out alive. To prove to us, Jesus is bigger than even your death. It's so wonderful to be a child of God. Amen. And it's even more wonderful to be a follower of Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to know that He will supply all our needs. And He knows what those needs are. How wonderful to know that He will direct our steps if you will just let Him. Seek Him, listen and obey Him, and trust Him. He'll guide you lifelong. Places of employment, places of residence, health issues, all these things change, but God never changes. He'll protect you from all evil. He'll bless you every day of your life, and He will instantly take you to His eternal home called heaven when you die. Could I ask you right now to please just stop everything you're doing, wherever you are. May I very humbly, but very honestly, ask you three questions. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, would you just stop right now and listen to these three questions? Number one, are you one of His sheep? Can you say today with absolute confidence, I am a child of God? If you and I were just alone together, could you take me back and tell me of the time and of the place where the Holy Spirit brought you under conviction of your sin? You saw yourself as separated from God, and God showed you Jesus on the cross dying for your sins. Where you, by an act of your own free will, asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, come into your heart. It doesn't matter where you were. It doesn't matter what age you were. Has that happened? That's how you become a child of God. Question number two. Are you following Jesus? At the very start of our message, we discovered there's a difference in being a believer and being a disciple. It's one thing to believe in Jesus and believe He's the Son of God, but it's something else to be a follower. It's something else to be following His teachings and to be following His example. And I want you to remember the promises of Psalms 23 are not just to believers. They're to followers. The Lord is my shepherd. And my third and final question is this. Would you like to become one today? Wherever you are right now, you can. Because you see, a personal relationship with Jesus begins with a simple, sincere prayer. And if that is your desire today, for Jesus to become your shepherd, for Jesus to become your Savior, I want you to right now close your eyes, bow your head wherever you are, and prepare to pray a prayer sincerely to God. And I promise you that if you will, God will hear that prayer. He'll save you. He'll come into your life. He'll never leave you. Here's the prayer I encourage you to pray right now. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I do believe that You are the Son of God. And I do believe that You died for my sins on the cross, and that God raised You from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart right now and live forever. Give me a home in Your heaven when I die. And take control of my life right now. And help me to obey You the rest of my life. Help me to follow Your teachings. Help me to follow Your example. And Jesus, I mean this prayer with all of my heart. I want you to look up here now, if you will, wherever you are. Did you pray that prayer? And did you mean it? If you did, I want to encourage you that are listening by means of the internet to call us here at Grace Bible Church and tell us what you just did. There are some loving counselors that are ready to take your phone call right now. And